Finance Committee is back on its normal, on its almost normal schedule, and we will now move to PCR 31-25. First item is 2025-333, RFP Bishop Park and Playground Improvements. Then I'll go to you. Chief, if you could identify yourself for the record, please.
Good evening, Bill Facenti, Chief of Staff and Community Development Program Manager. Tonight I'm here asking for approval of the bid 2025-333, the RFP for Bishop Park and Playground Improvements. The total dollar amount of award that we're requesting is $604,455 to be awarded to Skirka Construction of West Warwick. Skirka Construction was the lowest responsible bidder. The city received three bids, ranging from a low of Skirka's at $604,455 and to a high of $727,000.
Thank you. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. First, I want to recognize two members of the public who are sitting in the front row who helped us immensely in getting this through. And I'm timing myself also. I just need to give a little background. Five years ago, when I started campaigning for this seat, I was knocking on doors with then Councilman Steve McAllister, who became the council president. And we knocked on a door and we asked, what are some issues in this ward? And this gentleman, and I'm sorry to say I don't remember his name, said, oh, we have a beautiful little park down there that's in disrepair. And we walked down, Steve and I walked down there and saw it, and it's right in the neighborhood. But it looked sad 5 years ago. It really did. So I promised that gentleman and people in that area that I would work on this. Mr. Facenti, who was the director at the time of his department, we tried and tried to get grants, couldn't find it, the money for it. Opera money came available. We couldn't even touch doing anything with the $200,000. But again, giving credit to the chief, he suggested and what we did is we set aside $80,000 of the opera money to hopefully be able to match other grants to do something for this neighborhood playground. And about 2 weeks ago, Mr. Facenti contacted me and told me we were able to parlay $80,000 into $604,455,000. And that won't do everything we wanted for that park, but it will do a lot. And I am just proud of the work, the city, my small role in it, but the neighborhood. We had, was it three meetings, Mr. Facenti?
Yes.
Three meetings in the neighborhood asking for ideas. The mayor came out, and again, it was a beautiful community effort that got us to the point we're at tonight. And I want to, I'm again, just publicly thank the mayor, but also Mr. Facenti, because he did the lion's share of the effort getting us that type of money. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Foley. This obviously is just a great job, and it's a great effort on everyone's part. Certainly, you picked up the ball while you were campaigning and took that issue very seriously and moved it along. Mr. Facenti's experience and way back, you know, in the day when he was involved with heading up that very department, certainly knew how to get things done, and certainly with the members of the public, just a really, really good team effort, and I know a very time-consuming effort to do so. So thank you for that. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Thank you. Not really a question, but again, thanking the councilman the chief and the community as something, thank you so much, that sound is brutal. Something like this, a project, a neighborhood project, does take a lot of time, commitment, planning. When did you, how long ago did you start this? How many years ago?
Five years ago, when I first started running, was when we found out of the need. And when I got sworn in shortly thereafter, but this time, 4 years ago, I sat down.
It's about 2018.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, amazed that, you know, a project, sometimes people get bored, sometimes they move on, but 6 years on something that's valuable to your community, to our community, well done. Thank you for the efforts.
Thank you for that, Councilman. Councilman Napper, any questions? So in this bid, Chief, there is a list of alternatives. Are these alternatives in addition? I assume they're in addition to the 604?
Correct.
455?
Correct. The base bid, there was the, we weren't sure how much it was going to cost, and we didn't want to have one lump sum and not be able to do it. So we put in different things that were not as important to the neighborhood. Some of the things were a fitness component for adults. Mm-hmm. There was a small toddler sandbox playground area, and also I believe swings, unfortunately, had to be eliminated. The equipment that's going to be installed, there are two pieces of equipment, is going to be a 2 to 5 year old and a 5 to 12 year old pieces of equipment. And those will all be ADA accessible, ground components, board in place rubber surfacing. We're also doing the walkway around the playground, the park, ADA parking, access, tables, benches, trash receptacles. The one other thing that we weren't able to do at this time is the basketball court as well. It's not in that bad a shape, but we weren't able to do that as well.
I know from my own looking into things, this equipment is just outrageously expensive to get things done. So once again, that was a great job. The price that has been quoted, I know that we're kind of, you know, further on, these numbers are still guaranteed to us, this 604, 455.
Yeah, the bids, right? Yes, the bids were opened, I think, beginning mid-February, so they're still valid.
Okay. They talk about interruptions on this. Do you anticipate, from speaking with the contractors, that there could be any interruptions? And if so, any time frames on those?
Interruptions as far as failure to maintain
the work schedule.
Products? No, we're anticipating this to start, depending on award tonight, getting all the contractors' documents in and getting their mobilization and ordered. We anticipate this being completed sometime December of 2026.
Great. So. Councilman DeLuise.
Okay. Yeah, I just had a question. Councilman Foley mentioned that you took 80,000 parlayed it into 604,000. I just want a little explanation about how that came to fruition. Did you put it on a football game? Or
yeah, we put it all on red. No, what happens is the area where Bishop Playground is located is in a low mod income census tract and block group, so it's eligible for community development block grant funds. The majority of the funding is through the community development block grant funds.
Okay. That's all I have.
That was easy. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. And I believe that it was said that approximately 86,000 was originally from the ARPA funds?
I believe so. I don't have that number in front of me.
Okay. Significant amount from the ARPA funds. I do want to make sure to first congratulate Councilman Foley and thank the administration too, that these kinds of projects just do not happen by themselves. It takes dedication, leadership, and so I do want to first make sure to give credit to everyone involved in making this happen. It absolutely does not happen on its own, and it takes a lot of time and dedication. So let's see. I just wanted to make sure to clarify that some of this, some of the documentation here is accurate, that the RFP, according to the memo dated February 24th, 2024, the RFP was issued on January 6th, 2025. I take it that because the memo, although the memo is dated 2024, it references bid 2025-333. It must have been the memo actually February 24th, 2025.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
Oh, quite all right. I figured it had to be. And so let's see. It states that the RFP for construction services went out on January 6th, 2025. Bids due February 19th, 2025. So something partially funded with ARPA funds was going out for bid in January 2025 with bids coming back February 2025, I take it?
That's correct.
And that's not a problem for the ARPA funds, right?
Some of the funds were set aside under other budget codes. So, I'm not sure where these funds were set aside from. So.
Okay, so basically the funds were, Councilman Foley had requested that those funds be put aside, and the administration was able to do that in a way that then the administration could proceed with properly putting the item out for the RFP at a slightly later time.
Correct. They met the requirements for commitment.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I'm glad that that was an option for Councilman Foley and that this was able to be accomplished. It's a massive win for Ward 1. And outside of the meeting, totally different topic, I'll follow up with you on those Ward 2 ARPA funds. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Councilman. Anyone else? Any other members of the council have any other questions, comments? Council President. Anyone from members of the public, please come to the mic. Just state your name for the record, please.
Hello, I'm Amanda Cantrell. I am a homeowner on Rose Garden Street and the proud mom of Harper Cantrell, who's 3 years old, and excited future patron of the playground at Bishop Park. You know, this journey for me started in 2021 when my friend Amanda said, hey, have you seen this park? Maybe we should do something about it. And I said, okay, let's go talk to our neighbors. So we spent the afternoon canvassing the neighborhood, and we heard from over 50 neighbors. And this is during pandemic time, so that was a surprising number of people opening their doors to us. We also had multiple community meetings where dozens of people from the community showed up to provide their input. You know, Bishop Park may be small, but as you heard, it's in a low mod community. And so it makes an important space for recreation and for families to play. Public spaces like this are so critical to our physical and mental health, something I think we all need more of these days. And so the city's proposal will make huge improvements in the park. Right now, there's a single bench, a dilapidated playground, not much else. And so with these investments, particularly what you heard about the alternatives, it shows that compromise can prevail, and we have a plan that's responsible, but will also lead to great benefits to the community. And I just wanna thank Councilman Foley for his leadership, Mayor Picozzi, and Bill Vicente for their efforts, because I just joined later on, but I'm really happy to be part of this effort, and I encourage your support for this bid.
Thank you. Okay. State your name for the record, please.
Sure. My name is Amanda Milkovitz. I've lived on Washington Street for about 20 years. I'm just a block or so away from the little park. And as I wrote to Councilman Foley in, God, I can't believe it was in 2021, The little park had been sad for a long time, and I'd been complaining for years, and other neighbors had complained for years of how dilapidated it was. What surprised me was how quickly he got back to me. I mean, it was almost immediately he was on the phone and said he was going to try to do something about that. And then right afterwards, I heard from Mr. Facente, who said that he'd been working on the project as well. It's so difficult to describe how important this little slice of land, this little bit of green space is for our community. I mean, we're pretty much a blue collar working class neighborhood, but we're an old school neighborhood. We're the kind of place where the little kids are roaming the streets on their bikes, on their scooters. People know each other, and that park is really central. And even though it's like the swings of death, the slide from hell, it's a pretty destroyed little place. It is a magnet for all the children in our neighborhood. And there are so many of them. There are kids I see learning how to ride a scooter on the little circle that goes around the neighborhood. There's a small daycare in the area that uses the playground. And they've deserved a great place to play. And I was heartened by the first meeting that we had. We had dozens of people show up at the little VFW post. The mayor was there. That was a surprise. And they took us really seriously, but they were also very straightforward with us that there wasn't any money available at that time. And honestly, I was very skeptical we'd ever get to this point. So if I could say anything to you, I would just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It really will make a tremendous difference to us and to so many people in our neighborhood. I have to say, it's so encouraging to see local politics really work and really listen to us. So thank you.
And thank you. And to go to your comment about Councilman Foley getting back to you right away, I've heard that he actually puts his cell phone under his pillow. And he's actually trying to convince the chief to do the same thing. So I don't know if he's had any luck with that or not. But this is a perfect example of community involvement. To be get involved, to have your councilman listen and do what you're asking to do. When the community gets involved, you can get things done. And equally important, you can get things stopped. So community involvement is a great testament to that. Thank you. And thank you, Councilman Foley. Any other comments or questions on this item? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 2, 2025-393, upgrades to scatter system, found on page 12. Your mic's not on, Director.
Good evening, Eric Earls, Public Works. Public Works is recommending award to Beta Group for upgrades to the existing SCADA system utilized by the Water Division in the amount of $594,986. So the SCADA system is what essentially keeps the water flowing, right? This is what monitors our the levels in the tanks, the pressure throughout the city at various locations. And the existing system was installed in 1997 and has had limited improvements since then. So it's really due. There are some aspects of the city that are not being monitored as they should be. An example of that is Old Buttonwoods. We had a water main break there a couple weeks ago. The SCADA system on the other side of the city indicated a pressure issue. Without the upgrade that we're proposing here, our team had to go out and physically turn off mains to try and figure out where that leak was. This would have given them a much easier time of locating where that was. So again, Beta Group is the design firm, and Ericsson will be doing the work. Beta will make sure that the existing system, as the upgrades are made, will maintain communication so that it's a seamless transition from the old system to the new system.
From members of the committee, do you have any questions from the members of the committee? Director, just a couple things I just want to point out is that Erickson, the contractor, has indicated that several of these critical components, they're no longer manufactured, and at best, you might be able to get used parts, if at all.
Correct, for the existing system.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a very important issue. One of the questions that I have of three, do you anticipate in your experience with this type of work that there could be, and I'm going to just rattle them off at once so you can kind of go to them, that there could possibly be any interruptions, and if there were, how long would it take? You've indicated that there's plan B in place for if you have to make some alterations to make sure there's no lost service of water. And if a plan B has to kick in, do you have any idea of what the additional cost could be?
I don't anticipate there'd be any disruption because this is primarily a monitoring system. You know, they're not out actually changing like big gate valves, which are some of the projects that we have proposed. You know, something like that where you're actually disrupting the water service in various locations, then you would, you know, you would notify people about potential loss of service or dirty water because of vibration in the pipe. But something like this where it's just mostly a monitoring system, I wouldn't anticipate that there would be any significant disruption to service.
Okay. In Article 4, Compensation and Payment, Item 4.3, it speaks to compensation for reimbursable expenses, subcontractors, charges, and contractor services will be billed at a multiplier of 1.10. Is that in addition to the 594?
No.
Or has that already been part of it?
That's already been part of it, yeah.
It says total labor charges and reimbursable expenses for the scope of services described in attached A shall generally be consistent with fee budget and attached B and shall not exceed with prior written approval. So any, give us an example of what a reimbursable expense could be.
I think, you know, to speak to your industry, it might be something like a time and materials kind of thing, right? Maybe some unexpected piece of equipment that they need to purchase to complete the job. I think that's kind of what we're talking about. We don't anticipate that, but again, okay, you build that language in here so that you can address it if it comes up.
And in services not included, 5.1, there's a whole list of things not included. Police details, bid documents, bid services, construction, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have some type of a budget that you are allowing for that?
Well, something like police details, we build that into, you know, kind of operating costs. Most of the other stuff that's referenced in that section would just be done in-house.
Okay. And the bid item, the numbers, those are still solid numbers. We don't have to worry about that.
Correct.
The 594, 986.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Any questions from, yes, Councilman Napa.
Good evening, Director. Just wanted to thank you for your responsiveness when I had sent you some questions on this bid item. And I just wanted to reiterate something that you said that I thought was pretty remarkable. For an expenditure of this size, the maintenance going forward and the cost to the city moving forward is essentially just replacement of batteries, and that's all the system will essentially need moving forward. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah. The preventive maintenance, yes.
And if we're really looking at like a give or take 20-year lifespan for a program like this, so we're really $600,000 roughly is going to stretch over the 20 years of benefit for the city.
Absolutely, yes, correct.
Okay, that's all. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So looking over this, I guess my one big picture type of question is, do we have confidence here that this isn't the sort of technology where there's a certain degree of planned obsolescence or something that's relatively niche where basically, did we look into these different modern components and parts to see, okay, this is the industry leader. We have some expectation that, reason to believe that 25 years from now, we're going to be able to actually get new replacement parts and not necessarily be in the position we are in today?
I anticipate that in 20 years, someone would probably be standing up here looking for a brand new system because technology has improved. You know, this will allow us some new components like turning pumps on and off remotely, which we don't have now. So yeah, 20 years, they might have an, you know, even more improved technology. But like Councilman said, 20 years with minimal preventive maintenance, it's a pretty straightforward system.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I'm just reminded, I suppose, of I ran into a situation, thankfully not in my house, but someone I know had a specific heating unit that seemed like a great idea to install decades ago, but one small part on it went, and even though the rest of the unit is just fine, the whole unit has to be replaced because the manufacturer of that rather niche type of unit is out of business. So just something that I keep in mind with these sorts of things, but I suppose that there is a degree of planned obsolescence even when it comes to the to infrastructure too. Thank you, and I'm glad to hear that we are actually getting some more value here over just replacing a system with something that does the exact same thing.
Councilman Ricks, I'm tempted to make a motion to put you in charge of this decision in 20 years from now. I'm tempted.
Oh, good Lord.
Are there any other questions from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 3, 2025-398, co-responder mental health case manager. That is found on page 29.
Good evening, Major Sullivan for the Police Department.
Good evening, Major. I know we had a pretty good discussion on this, and I'd like you to share those comments with the members of the council as well as members of the public as to how important this particular issue is.
Sure. So thank a little you. Background. In 2014, we started the program. Kudos to whoever it was in our police department at the time that had that idea to start that so far ago, because it was pretty innovative at the time. So in 2014, the program began. We had a relationship with the Providence Center, who for the first 4 or so years provided the clinician to us at no cost. However, the business models changed, of course, in the nonprofit sector, at which point we reached an agreement where we shared the cost with the Providence Center. And it's been a very good program, very beneficial to everybody, all the stakeholders involved. The clinician that we had got a new job with a different entity and left us last year. So she went to part-time in February of 2024, and the program essentially ended the fiscal year, June 30th, 2024. So we've been without a clinician since July 1st, or any mental health person. So what they do is they are embedded in our police department, and they work with the officers. They help identify and respond to calls that are mental health related, provide services, intervention, and they can fast track a person that might be in crisis to get them the help they need. It's an investment on our part because we can, hopefully we get the person help they need. It might save us 5, 10, 15 future calls for service.
This intervention that we're speaking about, this is something that could very possibly happen right on scene, right? It could be at XYZ Street where you have that type of a situation present itself?
Yes, and often the clinician or the mental health worker, if they're inside our station, they can respond out. If they're doing computer work, desk work, reviewing reports, so on and so forth, they can immediately respond out if there's a need. On other occasions, they're already going to be on the road patrolling with the officer, just on a routine basis. And other times, obviously, they're going to have their time off, so they should be available on call. And if they can't, they can certainly facilitate a fast-track accommodation with the Thrive Behavioral Health.
And the cost, this $80,000, this is coming out of the opioid fund, correct?
Yes.
So there's no cost to the taxpayers?
There is not.
Directly. In addition to that, this is what I refer to as a subcontract position. So we don't have any exposure to overhead, no pensions, no health care, no workers' comp, no FUTA, FICA, none of that stuff. We have no expenses.
That's correct. And it's a one-year contract, so we have that opportunity every 12 months to revisit it, see if it's worth it or not for that particular situation, and either move on or keep the program.
Well, I certainly support this. I think this is a great effort on the police department's part to be able to bring this position back into play. I know several months ago, there was an incident in my own ward where I had experienced a situation where this type of intervention could have been used. And in addition to perhaps helping the individual that needs this type of assistance, this person could also have a direct impact on saving a police officer's life or other people as well.
Absolutely, yes.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the, Councilman Napa. Don't be bashful, just.
Evening, Major. Wanted to thank you as well for being responsive and everything that I've asked you about this. And just wanted to give my support for this program. Experiencing it firsthand in my yesteryear when I was working at Kent Hospital, I can say definitively that this expedites the process for those of us, those members of the community that are in mental health crisis. And just for a point of clarity, the clinician can perform essential work in the field before they get to the hospital, which reduces the amount of time that our taxpayers would be stuck in a holding position at the hospital, I guess, for lack of better terms. I think it's a great program. So this is something that's definitely
yes.
worth a nod.
The clinician can actually, even better, can coordinate a response to a clinical environment right at Thrive, circumventing the hospital altogether, freeing up the emergency room for other matters. Medical matters are always busy, as you know.
Thank you, Councilman Napper. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we are going to now move on to the other items which are under $50,000. I'm going to start off with one, and then I'll defer to my colleagues on the council and the committee. Item number 13, 2024-193. We need to assign a PCR number to that. And the reason is it's simply a typo. When you look at your sheets, members of the council, you'll see where it calls for the contract period from 10/13/23 to 10/12/23. Purchasing had spoken with me earlier today and had advised that there was that typo. So we need to change that 2023 to 2025. And the PCR number 3325. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Are there any items that members of the committee would like to have removed? Councilman Napper.
I'd just like to pull item, the bid item 2022-404, state of RI air compressor maintenance, repair, and installation.
Item number 8. Councilman Napper, anything else?
That's all.
Councilman Muto? Members of the council?
No one.
Okay, no one over there. Thank you. I would like to I want to go to the ladders. I'm looking to the ladders. Item number 10, firefighting ground ladders. I'm going to pull that one out. And that's all I have for right now. Anything from members of the public? Are there any items that anyone from the public would like to have held out for you to speak on? Any items from members of the public that you would like to have addressed? Are there any items that you would like to have addressed? Hearing none, we will go to item number 8, 2022-404, State of Rhode Island Air Compressor Maintenance Repairs, and that is on behalf of Councilman Napper.
Good evening, Director. Just had a couple of questions relative to this bid item. It took some digging, but I finally, I think, deciphered where my math wasn't really mathing. So when this was presented here, contract period 11-1-2024 to 10-31-2025, I guess the spending limit that you have of $60,000, a spending cap, extends backwards to 2022 when this was approved?
Yes. Sorry, Kristen Moretti, Public Works. Yes. So this was originally awarded in August of 22. So any expenses that fall under the cap, because we've done a couple of alterations to contract and extended the expiration along with this to coincide with the state bid. So our current cap sits at $60,000. I believe when it was originally awarded, it was like 20. We've had a couple of compressor replacements and those types of things. So yes, we've spent $51,300.75.
Okay. And then we just for forward looking, we do have a preventative maintenance contract that's very expansive, which is comprehensive and excellent to have in place. There are two payments scheduled, one coming up in April and one coming up in October for $74,94.25 each to cover the preventative maintenance contract for this contract period. That,
yes,
correct?
We have biannual service on multiple compressors.
So I think that leaves us essentially with a shortfall around $6,300.
With this request, we're increasing it another $20,000. Okay. That will cover us for the preventative maintenance that needs to be done, as well as if we have a repair that needs to be done in between now and the contract expiration.
Okay, so that's going to leave a cushion of about 13.7, give or take.
I didn't math it out, but okay. I'll take your word for it.
Is there anything anticipated on the horizon in the next 6 months or so that would necessitate that large of a cushion in spending authority? I mean, I think.
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, obviously, we do have to do the preventative maintenance piece. The two garage compressors were fairly recently replaced, but we do have some in other buildings, the senior center, the city hall. There's a backup compressors for the sprinkler system. So,
okay. If I could just make one request moving forward, just for ease of so that we can understand, and it's part of my learning curve as well, so I recognize that I may not be up to speed. If we're looking at a bid item that's going to go backwards in time, can we just make that clear in the memo that's presented so that we don't, there was a lot of digging to get to that point for me.
Sure.
I'd appreciate that moving forward, but I think that just kind of wraps up the conversations that I've tried to have before the meeting. We got some points of clarity out there and I'm satisfied with the presentation. Thank you.
Any further questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
That completes our items. We will take a vote. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. I have the item number 10, 2025-384, found on page 65. Chief?
Good evening, Assistant Chief Oppenhauer from the Fire Department.
Thank you, Chief. I know we had a lengthy conversation meeting about these ladders last Friday. I want to thank you, first of all, for providing me with all those backup numbers so quickly. But this, talk to us about the numbers, because I know when I first looked at that and broke it down cost per ladder, I was actually taken back.
Yes.
On the cost.
So the fire department went out to bid for ground ladders with the hopes that with the uncertainty in the markets, the aluminum markets and the tariffs and the shipping costs, to lock in some pricing for some ground ladders that we have an immediate need for. These ladders get tested annually, and several of them failed their annual inspection and need to be replaced. And we, at this time, we don't have any spare ladders to replace them with. So we had an immediate need for some ladders. We were trying to lock in a longer term deal. But both the two bids that we received were hesitant to do that. One gave us a 30-day price, which included shipping. The other bid gave us a percentage off manufacturer suggested price, which did not include tariffs, surcharges, fuel charges, or shipping, and all to be calculated upon when we actually go to buy them. So we didn't feel that that was a correct direction to go with this because of all the uncertainty. We have an immediate need for 5 ladders. So the request is just to do a one-time purchase for those 5 ladders that we need right now, 3 to replace the ones that failed inspection, and 2 to reserve as spares so that over the next couple of years, we don't get into the same position where we need to buy ladders in an expeditious fashion like this. The biggest cost on these ladders is the shipping. Most of it runs between like $800 and $1,000. And yes, these ladders are going to be more expensive than the ones you see at Home Depot. They are NFPA certified. They're wider. They're not meant to hold one person. They're meant to hold you, the firefighter, and a victim. So they're rated in 750-pound plus capacity. They have different rungs, different, you know, heavier structures. So they are much different than the ones that you see at the hardware store.
And we also discussed that you're going to take, I believe it was 2 of the old ladders off the trucks and put them in reserve, as opposed to putting more wear and tear on them and at some point making them useless. So you're going to take, I think it was 2?
Correct. Yeah, I talked to the operations chief, and we believe that's probably the best theory. That was the intent, was to take 2 of our ladders that have some life left in them that are aging and put the 2 brand new ones on the truck and use the aging ones as spares that are just hopefully going to be just be sitting in a fire station in storage for the time being until we need them.
Chief, the other thing we spoke to, and I'm saying this not just for your benefit, but also for DPW, who does a lot of outside ordering, is we discussed about looking into getting your own transportation company, not that you own it, but hire an independent transportation company to go pick these things up and bring them back. Explore that expense, because there's no doubt that whoever's making these ladders, they're also adding a markup onto the cost of transportation. And at $800 per ladder, that just seems to be a pretty wild number to me. So I would encourage you, as well as DPW, that if that type of thing were possible, it may certainly save us some taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, we could definitely reach out to the vendor and see if that's a possibility, if they can reach out to the manufacturer and see if they have an option to have your own private shipping company come pick them up, especially in a big bulk order like this.
And if they say no, you should be asking them why.
Call another vendor.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee on the ladders? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. So we will move on to, we're gonna do PCR 3325 right now? Yes. We will, I'm looking for a motion on PCR 3325. Oh, correct. So the amendment, we'll need to move the amendment first. The amendment is to change the date from 10-12-23. This is the ending date from 10-12-23 to 10-12-25. I make a motion for that amendment.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Need a motion to move as amended.
Favorable action as amended.
We have a motion to move PCR 3325 favorable as amended. Do we have a second? We have a second. Any discussion? I'm hearing chatter in the background. Sorry. Solicitor, don't be bashful. Grab the mic and just give me a yell. Any comments or questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none. We have a motion. We have a second. Councilman Foley.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Now we need a motion on the bid package.
Move favorable action on the bid package.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We are adjourned at, I'm getting to it, I'm closing my book, relax. You people are like really intense. It is 6:50 and we are adjourned.
So, you'll leave me 10 minutes for my committee? Thank you.
Motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
You're next, right?